We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer over the summer, and we turn back to that prayer this morning, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Thomas Watson, the Puritan writer that I've been mentioning throughout our series on the Lord's Prayer, has written a wonderful commentary on this prayer. And he makes this observation: there is one petition for the body, but two for the soul. One petition for the body, but two for the soul. Last week, we looked at, give us this day our daily bread. We've prayed for our physical needs. We've prayed for the body. But now we come to pray for that which is much more important, our spiritual needs. Forgive us and lead us not into temptation. One petition for the body, but two for the soul. We come this morning to look at the first of these two petitions for the soul. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Daily bread may satisfy our appetite, but forgiveness of sin satisfies our conscience. Or as another writer has put it, daily bread may make us live comfortably, but forgiveness of sins will make us die comfortably. Or even the words of Jesus: what use is it if we gain the whole world, yet forfeit our soul? Here is a petition for the soul. When we come to pray, let us never forget to seek God's forgiveness for our sin. Let us remind ourselves that we are in debt before God. We are guilty before God. But He is the one who graciously forgives. He and He alone is the one who wonderfully cancels our debt. As we pray, pray, forgive us. And remind ourselves that we too then are to be forgiving. Let's come to look at this petition or this request this morning. We do so under three headings. Firstly, we think about the confession of the debtor. The confession of the debtor. Forgive us our debts. This is an acknowledgement. This is an admission of guilt. This is saying to God, we are guilty before you. We have debts before you. We know our sin is held against us. Now, we mightn't be as familiar with the word debts in a spiritual sense as we are in the world of money. But this word does help us to clarify the position that we are in. The word debt refers to that which is owed, an obligation, a responsibility to fulfill a duty or a requirement. If we borrowed money from a bank, we are then in debt to the bank. We owe that. There is a requirement or an obligation on us to pay back. For people and families who get into debt, we know what that creates. It creates a sense of burden, anxiety, worry. The thoughts of debt are never far from the minds of those who are under debt. And now Jesus is telling us that we are in spiritual debt before God. Our sin is a debt. What we owe God is complete obedience, wholehearted service. But we've fallen short. We haven't met the requirement. None of us here this morning has met the requirement that God's word sets out before us. Which of us here this morning can say we've served with a whole heart? Who here can say that they have given complete obedience? None of us has fulfilled every letter of God's perfect law. Not one of us can claim that we are without sin. Every failure to do what God has commanded of us means that we are guilty. We've fallen short. We are in debt. And actually, it's worse than falling short. We've completely missed the mark. And we've run up a greater debt against God because of doing those things that we shouldn't do. We actually add to our debt. We add to our guilt through our sin. We owe God. Just as there's a punishment for not paying a physical debt, so there's a punishment that's deserved for not paying what we owe to God. That punishment that we deserve from God is death. And not just non-existence. That's not the death that Scripture speaks of. But it speaks of eternal punishment, being completely separated from all that is good, all that is righteous and loving, coming under God's wrath for all eternity. This is what we deserve. We are debtors. And we can't hide our debt from God. We can't hide our guilt. We can't excuse it. We can't brush it under the carpet. You wouldn't take a bill that you've received and just shove it into a drawer never to look at it again. That doesn't get rid of the debt that you owe. Next thing you know, there's another letter coming through with red writing on it saying, "Reminder." You wouldn't take that and then shove it down the back of the sofa. Say, "Oh, well, that's okay. Out of sight, out of mind. Isn't that what we're told? I'll just hide it away and won't have to think about it." Next thing you know, you then get another letter. Final reminder. A warning. And then the courts become involved. Eventually it leads to the punishment. It could be prison. Hiding away that reminder, that debt, it doesn't cover it over. It has to be paid. Otherwise, there's a punishment that is due. And yet, how often do we try to do that with our sin? Yes, maybe now and again our conscience is pricked. We've read God's word. We're struck. I have failed before God. Or listening to a sermon, and you're struck, your conscience is pricked, and you say to yourself, "I have to get right with God. I'm in debt before God. I'm guilty." But then we take those things and we brush them aside and we say, "I know, I'll put them away from me, out of sight, out of mind. That will get rid of it." No, it doesn't. We start to think to ourselves, "I just won't read God's word. Then I won't feel guilty. I won't really listen to the sermon. I'll be at church. I'll look as though I'm listening, but I won't really listen. And that means I won't have to worry about that debt that I have before God." Rubbish. Listen up. God's word tells us we are in debt before Him. We have to own up to it. We have to admit it. We have to confess it before God. Do we realize the guilt that is held against us outside of Jesus Christ? Do we realize that as God's children, we can be limiting the blessings that are ours in Christ by our sin, by our guilt? We are to continually come before God as Father, confess our sin. The Westminster Confession of Faith puts it this way for the Christian: God doth continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified. And although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. We are to acknowledge, admit, and confess our debts, our sin, our guilt before God. Sin is a debt, and every sinner is a debtor. We need to realize it. Confess our sin before God. But then secondly, we have also here the cry of the debtor. The cry of the debtor. We're not just to admit our guilt, but there's to be a deep, longing cry. And we have it here at the beginning of this part of the petition. Forgive us. Forgive. It's a prayer seeking God's grace and mercy. It's asking, Lord, cancel the debt. Remove the debt from me. It's not just saying, I'm guilty. This is what I owe, and we leave it at that. We have to seek payment. We have to realize that we can't pay the debt. We're in eternal debt. And so we have no other recourse, no other option, but to cry out to the one that we owe the debt to, forgive me. Friends, we're to fall down on our knees. We're to cry out to God. There has to be sorrow for our sin. Sin should break our heart. We're to hate our sin. We're to hate the separation that our sin causes between us and God. We're to hate, as Christians, we are to hate that as God's children, that we can still rebel against our loving Father in heaven. We're to despise that sin. It should cause us grief. It should cause us to sorrow. It should break our hearts. Then we're to also say sorry. We're to say sorry to God for this sin and the guilt that we have. Not just our sinful actions, but our very nature. That we continually seek to want to do our own thing rather than what God calls us to do. We're to seek forgiveness and say sorry for those things that we have done, those things that we have said, and even for the very things that we have thought. Of course, as I said, we can't pay off this debt. No amount of good works will ever pay off this debt. This is the feeling of many good people in Northern Ireland, churchgoers, who go through that routine. Good, upstanding citizens, nice people, kind people, family people, morally upright people, but still also debtors before God. And yet they don't realize it. They think that, well, I've paid God back by being good, by being nice, by going to church, by doing everything according to my traditions. I've paid God back. No, we can't pay this debt. It would be like somebody putting pennies into £1 million debt. Imagine somebody crashed into your car We're not thinking about insurance here at all, so don't have insurance in your mind. Somebody crashes into your car. The cost for repair is £1,000. And the person says to you, don't worry about it, I will pay you back. They come to you a few months later and they give you a grubby little penny. Here you go. I'll start to pay you back. You can expect another one of those next year. I won't go anywhere near to paying the debt that is owed. And yet, how often people give their grubby pennies to God. Their good works, they're just like grubby pennies. Their church going, it's just like a grubby penny. But not to £1,000 debt, but to a multi-million pound debt. It will never cover the cost. And so we must cry out, forgive. Lord, wipe the slate clean. Wonderfully, this prayer is encouraging us that God can do that. And God has done that. God has paid the debt. This is what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. This is why he went to the cross. He was going to pay the debt. He went to pay that price that was owed. Punishment. Death. And Jesus Christ took it. But also, all of Christ's perfect goodness and perfect law keeping, his complete righteousness, has then also been taken and has been put into our account. We're covered. The debt is completely cancelled. Jesus Christ was able to say on the cross, it is finished. The price paid. Friends, this is why we are to cry out. Because our sin is so serious against God. And yet God has provided such a rich, wonderful, glorious salvation. Our hearts are to break over our sin and our rebellion. We're to see the awful stench of our sin. We're to realize the debt and then say sorry to God. We're to say sorry for not giving God the worth due to his name. Devotion due to him, giving him wholehearted service. We're to say sorry to God for every commandment that we've broken in thought, in word, in deed. We're to say sorry for God for not living up to the calling that we've received in Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're to say sorry to God for rejecting such a great salvation. You're to say sorry to God for the debt that you owe. Come to the only one who can show forgiveness. Come to the only one who can wipe that debt clear. Cry out and don't leave it too late. Don't leave here this morning and say to yourself, I'll put it out of sight and out of mind, and that will be okay. It won't. The debt will still be there. So cry out to the Father in heaven that through his love, through his grace, through his mercy, that he will forgive. But also note that this petition is a communal petition. As we cry out, forgive us, we're to pray this not just for ourselves, but friends, we are to pray this for our families. Pray this together as a family, that God will forgive you as a family. We're to pray this as a congregation. I keep saying this about the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to keep saying it. Notice that word, us. There is a coming together in the Lord's Prayer. We're to pray together as a congregation. And we have opportunities to do that. Not just in our worship service together, but at our prayer meetings. We can come and live out and pray the Lord's Prayer together. Forgive us. We're to pray this for our nation. Our nation needs this prayer. Our nation is moving into greater and greater debt. Our nation is moving swiftly under greater and greater judgment. Father in heaven, forgive us our debts. The cry of the debtor, the confession of the debtor, the cry of the debtor. And then thirdly and lastly, the character of the forgiven. The character of the forgiven. The second half of this petition, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus goes on to say here that if we forgive others their trespasses, then our Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Does that mean that God's forgiveness of our sin is completely dependent on our forgiveness of others? Do we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving others? Well, no, of course not. Scripture makes it clear that God's forgiveness is of free grace. It is freely given through Jesus Christ. It is His work. It is undeserved and unmerited. It is that love of God that is compassionate in Jesus Christ. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't work it out from God. Well, what does this mean then? Is it that for those who've been forgiven, we more than any others should be ready and quick to forgive? That's what I think this means. A mark of someone who has been forgiven much is that they are forgiving people. That's the story that Jesus told in the parable, Matthew chapter 18, that we read from earlier. We have been forgiven much. And so we must be quick to forgive. We must be ready to forgive, happy to forgive, again and again and again. Peter asked, how many times should I forgive? And I'm sure he probably thought, I'm going to throw a number out here, Jesus, and prepare yourself, 7 times. Well, no, Peter. It's actually 70 times 7. Now, the number 7 refers to perfection in Scripture. Peter probably had that number in his head. But Jesus says, your forgiveness and willingness to forgive, it should run and run and run and never stop being poured out. Your willingness to forgive should be overflowing and abundant right through to eternity. Why? Why should we be so forgiving and so ready and quick to forgive? The answer is because we have been forgiven so much more. We are to be noted and marked as forgiving people. And so Jesus is saying, if you do not forgive, then perhaps you yourself have never truly been forgiven. If you are not willing to forgive, then perhaps that's because you've never experienced forgiveness from your Father in heaven. Have we truly repented? Have we understood the seriousness of our sin the horror of our sin and cried out to God for forgiveness? And are we then ready and willing to forgive? There's a question over whether we are to forgive those who ask for forgiveness. If someone never shows repentance, should we forgive them? I don't want to go down that line. But what I want to say is, do you have a heart that is willing and ready to forgive anything and everything? If someone came to you who'd hurt you in the most horrific way, who hurt a member of your family, who has harmed someone you love grievously, and if they said, sorry, are you willing and ready to forgive? Even if they do it twice, three times, four times, 10 times, 100 times. You might call into question their repentance, but that's not for you to do. But are you ready and willing to forgive as you have been forgiven? Think of Jesus Christ, your Savior, there on the cross, the one who was undergoing the most awful hatred that humankind could ever show, to one who was truly and completely innocent. And yet he could say, forgive them, Father. Forgive them. And he did it for us. And so as Christians, as those who've been forgiven, who've had our debt cancelled, we should then also be the most gracious of people. And so pray that we can show forgiveness. Pray that we will be marked out by forgiveness. Pray that it will mark out our character, that it would shape our prayers. Father, forgive me. Forgive me my debts. Forgive us our debts, just as we forgive those. Just as you have worked in us by your grace through Christ, may we be ready and willing to forgive. Amen.